Good evening. It's an honor to be up here preaching some of the words of God in Christ. And I want to thank Larry for the lesson that he gave us this morning. I think he gave us some very good exercises for our spiritual souls to do, and it really makes you think. Actually, I was going to change my lesson this afternoon. You guys know that great philosopher, Grant Calvert, and the quote that he made? Why would anybody want two wives? Can you imagine that? What was so funny, just his expression he did. I can't do it, Grant can do it, but it just overwhelmed him. Why a man would want two wives? And that, to me, that was the statement of the day. All right. As the first century was drawing to a close, Titus, who conquered Jerusalem and ruled the Roman Empire from somewhere from 79 to 81 AD, was far more famous than Titus, the companion of Paul and preacher of the gospel. Now, if you look and see, if you Google everything, Titus, the companion of Paul, will come up first, and you'll see more people that are looking for that than Titus, the Roman emperor. Well, you can understand that. Not very many people are care about the emperors of Rome, and the second one, he's not one of the famous ones, so he's not very one. But Titus is the one that is probably the one that is remembered by more people. Titus, the companion of Paul. Well, if you think about Titus, and we're going to talk about Titus, he has some good qualities about him. And in Matthew, the 20th chapter, the mother of the sons of Zebedee asked Christ, could one of my sons sit on the right hand and the other one on the left hand in the kingdom? Christ told him and said, you just don't know what you're asking. You don't know what you're asking about that. And but he said, then later on, he says, that's not my decision. That's the Father's decision. And then the other 10 heard that, and of course, they weren't too thrilled about it. So he calls them together. In verse 25, it says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desire to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desire to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many. We know how things are. He tells the rulers, they have the of the Gentiles, they have the power. And if you're somebody great, you have the authority to exercise this power and this authority over the Gentiles. But Christ says, that's not in the kingdom. Whoever wants to be great, let him be your servant. If you want to be first, let him be your slave. The Son of Man, Christ, didn't come to be served, but to serve. That's a big difference here. Those that are served and those that have the authority and the rule over everything. But he says, that's not what the kingdom is about. It's service. And that's one reason I think we'd like to talk about Titus. In a world, in this, especially in this time of day too, and back then it was, if you had money, power, and fame, you thought you was great. And that's what the people are today. You just look at the social media thing. If somebody has power or they got some fame, they think everybody should listen to them because of who they are. But Titus was not that way. And because he did the example of what Christ was talking about. He was a servant to the saints of God. Now, if Titus possessed any miraculous gifts, they're not mentioned anyplace. So the things that we're going to be talking about in this lesson is some things that we should be learning to do and act and emulate ourselves. And let's look at Titus now. Who was Titus and what made him special? What do you know about Titus? If you look in there, you won't find hardly anything in the Bible about Titus. You find that Paul talks about him in Galatians, the 2nd chapter, verse 3.
He said, "Then after 14 years I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me. And I went up by revelation and communication, communicated to them that the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but probably to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run,
or had run in vain. Yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised." Paul was talking about they had problems with the Judaizing teaching, said that you got to be circumcised to come into the kingdom. And Paul says no. And nobody compelled Titus to be. So Titus was not a proselyte. He was a Greek. He was a Gentile. That's all you know about him. You don't know anything about his family. Where he from? Anything about Titus. The only time you find Titus is Paul writes to about him. And I think it's, if I'm not mistaken, 13 times. He mentioned Titus. But what can we learn about Titus? We don't know what his family was. But when you start looking at it and we see the things that Titus did, he must have some good background. Like Daniel had when he was taken captive. He refused to eat at the king's table. Well, you see the thing that Titus has done, you will think somewhere along the line he was brought up right. But there is no mention to anything about his family, where he's from, or anything. Except he's a Gentile. Paul describes him in Titus 1:4, a true son in our common faith. His partner and fellow worker, 2 Corinthians 8:23. And he entrusted him with several missions. A true son in common faith. He was not his physical son. He was his spiritual son. They had a faith that was in common. And he says he also was a partner and fellow worker. That means he worked with Paul. He helped teach the gospel. He preached the gospel. So he was a faithful servant. Well, one of the missions that Paul had him to do, if you remember the first letter that Paul wrote to Corinth, you remember how Corinth was, that first letter. Corinth was a mess. And Paul had to write to them to straighten some things out. He says in 2 Corinthians, the 2nd chapter, verse 4, "For out of much affliction and anguish of heart, I wrote to you." It was difficult. Paul said, it was difficult, but I wrote to you with many tears because I love you. Not that you should be grieved, but that you might know the love which I have so abundantly for you. I have this great concern for you. The church at Corinth. You're doing many, many things wrong. And I'm trying to help you, correct you, and get you on that back on that narrow path of righteousness. And I'm doing it out of love. But I'm writing this letter. It's going to be a hard letter. He wrote him a hard letter with it. Now, Paul couldn't go to him. But he felt so confident in Titus, he entrusted him to go to help them with the problem. And he says on, in 2 Corinthians 8, chapter verse 16 through 17. "But thanks be to God who put the same earnest care for you into the heart of Titus. For he not only accepted the exhortation, but being more diligent, he went to you of his own accord." As Paul said, I did this for love for you. Titus has the same love for you, the same care for you, to get you back on the path. And he's coming to you of the same accord. I can't come to you, but Titus, who I can entrust with it, that I have faith into this, that he will be the servant to the saints that he is. And this is one of his missions that he had to do. Paul said also, he demonstrated great confidence in his ability. In 2 Corinthians 8, chapter verse 6, he said, "So we urge Titus that as he had begun, so he should also complete this grace in you as well." As we talked about, they had great problems there at Corinth, and a number of problems that he had, and Titus had to work with them, and being the person that cared about them, and he wanted to go with his free will, but he says, now there's another problem. The saints at Corinth have failed to do as they should in regarding the collection for the needy saints at Jerusalem. They were having problems. They weren't doing what they were told to do. And so Titus now, with all the other problems that he's having, says, Paul tells him, he says, you got to help them. And every time you think about collection, finances, that's not an easy task to do. But Paul, knowing Titus, who he was and how he was, he said, I'm going to let him do it. Because he started this, I'm going to let him complete it. He says, and Paul gives them instructions here. In 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 through 4. Now, concerning the collection for the saints. Okay? Paul is telling them, here's the thing. As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, or I have commanded the other churches of Galatia, it's not only you, Corinth, but I have given this order to all the churches of Galatia, so you must also do. You must do this. On the first day of the week, here's how you do it. On the first day of the week, when you come together, when you assemble together, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper. What you have made, what you has prospered, you are to store that, lay it aside for the collection for the saints. That there will be no collections when I come. The money will be there. Be ready for it when I do come. And when I come, whoever you approve by your letters, I will send to bear your gift to Jerusalem. But if it is fitting that I go also, they will go with me. So you can understand here what Titus had to do. We know that Corinth was a mess, but here's something that they have failed to do. And Paul encourages Titus, says, look, you started this. I have faith and trust in you that you will finish it out. That you will see about this to take care of this problem in Corinth. And as we saw in the second letter, how much different the second letter was from the first letter. And you can imagine how difficult it is for Titus and all the different things. Titus is a young man. How old he was, we don't really know. But Paul called him his son, so he's younger, be at a son age for, according to Paul. This is a hard task, talking about financing to these people. But Paul had great ability, our faith and trust that in the ability of Titus that he can do it. He had caused Titus to know he's a servant to the saints of God. He has that ability to have that care and that love. He's got another mission for him. And Titus, he writes a letter to Titus, first chapter, verse 4 to 5. To Titus, a true son in our common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this reason, I left you in Crete. Paul and Titus are in Crete. Paul had to leave. Here's your assignment. Here's your mission. This is what you need to do. That you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I command you. Now, Titus is going to have to show some qualities here, and one of these is concern courage. How do you think it is for you to tell a group of Christians that they're lacking?
Not an easy task. But he says that you should set in order the things that are lacking. There's an order
to the worship. There's an order that the church has. You are to set that in order. See about it. And you're also to appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. This is your assignment. This is your task, Titus, that you have an ability. Why? Because you are a servant to the saints of God. Titus, chapter 1, verse 12, 13. One of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in the faith. Who he's dealing with? We know how the Corinthians was, how far they got off. Now, look at the people here at Cretans, or at Crete. Always liars, evil beasts, lazy gut. These are the people that he has to deal with. These are the people that he has to teach. These are the people that he cares about and about their souls that so much that he's going to set things in order that they are lacking. But he tells them, said, you're going to have to rebuke them sharply. And this is hard for a young man to do. That they may be sound in the faith. Okay? Then in Titus 2:15 says, speak these things, which is we'll talk about in a minute. Exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. Now, you are to do these things. You're to speak to them with sound about sound doctrine, but you're also to exhort them and rebuke them. How? With authority. You have the authority. Use this authority. However, let no one despise you. Now, how do you use authority and let no one despise you? You do it with love. You do it with care. You do it as a servant, humbly. That's reading Titus, servants to the saints of God. He had these qualities, this abilities, to show his love and care for the people, for the saints. Now, as a young man, he has some very great, good qualities about him. And as an older man, I can learn very much from Titus, how he did things and how Paul had faith and trust in him to give him the hard tasks. These were not easy tasks for someone to do to come in. And he gave it to Titus to do these things. That you can do these things with authority, but nobody to despise you. In other words, you did it with love. Now he's talking about the sound doctrine. Titus was instructed to speak those things the proper for sound doctrine. Titus 2, verse 11 to 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. And that is for everyone. These are things that Titus knew. These are for everybody. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, how did that prophet describe those people at Crete? Wasn't very favorable, was it? And you have to teach them that you have to deny godliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. That's a change for them. This is your task, to change them from the wickedness that they are, living in the world, to come to be righteous and servants of God. looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Why change? Well, here's the reason why. Christ is coming back. He will come back. Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. He is going to come back. He wants us to be redeemed. He wants us to be saved. He wants us to be get that sin out of our life, get ourselves purified, and that we will be zealous for good works. And how are you going to be zealous for good work? You see good works being done. And that is what Titus is doing. He is an example. Like when Christ had those 12 to come through him, he says, you are to be servants. Humble yourself. Be slaves. Serve. And this is what Titus is doing. He is the example for them of good works, what he is doing for them and for their Corinthians. Discern, he said. Now, sound doctrine is essential, and error must be corrected. But servants of God must realize that some fights are best not fought. Titus 3:9. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are improper and useless. There's going to become times that you're just going to have to walk away. There's going to become times where you're spending time with somebody and you're wasting your time. I'm not saying you give up on them, but you go to somebody else that'd be willing to listen to you. There are some things you're going to come up with disputes he's talking about. Foolish disputes. So how are you going to tell something that is foolish or not? It's hard to discern. And he tells Titus, he's going to have to do this. Don't get messed up in geology. I know about the Jews or something. Don't be contentious and striving about the laws. Sometimes you need to pick your fights. And this is sometimes you just need not to do it. And he said, you have to learn this. The sound doctrine that you're going to be teaching, the righteousness, and to get the people away from the worldly lust. It's a hard task. And you know, if you try it yourself, you talk to people out here in the world. And if you try to talk to, say, a Baptist about baptism, as one of the difficult things to get them to understand, that you need to be baptized for remission of sins. They don't think you need it. They've been taught that for such a long time. But be patient with them, and you keep on, and you do it. Titus took on some tough tasks. But when we read in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 13, by all this we are encouraged. In addition to our own encouragement, we were especially delighted to see how happy Titus was, because his spirit has been refreshed by all you. This is one of the things here that Paul writes to them at Corinth on his second letter. And he tells them that you have refreshed Titus and he is happy. Why? Because of the change. And who had a big factor in this? And let me just, you know, of course it's Paul and his writing in the letter and going through that. But it's Titus there being helpful to them. And having the right attitude and the right disposition, and he was a servant. He wasn't there to lord it over them. He had authorities, but he wasn't there to browbeat them, but to help them, to encourage them. And that's what, and he saw the change. He saw it. And that's what made him happy. And Paul says, now, I am encouraged because of this. Seeing how that Paul, that Titus is encouraged or is happy, and because his spirit has been refreshed by you, that's a great joy. That you go into a place, you know it's a hard place. It's a difficult place. But they do listen to you. And that is refreshing to you as a servant. The people are wanting to do what is right. And they see it in your action and by you helping them. Titus was a great teacher, I'm sure of that, from what Paul talks about and what we can find out. But there is one greater. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. That's in John 13, verses 14 through 17. Our great teacher, our master, Lord Jesus Christ, he is the example for us. Titus is a good one. I encourage you to study more about Titus. He is a great one to emulate. He had great quality about it. But if you're going to look at somebody, look at the Lord and Master, our Savior. And he tells you, if you do these things, blessed are you if you do them. Become a servant, people. Serve your fellow saints. Help them. We're all trying to go to the same place. It's a narrow road. And since it's a narrow, difficult road, we need help. And the help comes from each and every one of us. That's what I come to say. If you're subject to the invitation, if you're not a child of God, there is no better time than come tonight. If you have fallen away, if you're a member and a Christian and gone down the broad path, why? Because it's easy. It's broad. And much easier to follow that path than is the narrow path. But you want to get back on that narrow path. You want to go and spend eternity with your Lord and Savior. If you are subject to any of these, we ask you to come while we stand and say the invitation song.
As I am, thou wilt. It's good to see each of you this evening, and if you're visiting with us, it's a blessing that you've come and spent some time with us worshiping God together. Dale, thank you for the sermon this evening, and Larry, thank you for preaching this morning and bringing wonderful sermons to us. It's a blessing to have young men like both of you to bring sermons for both of us, or for all of us. Amen. Our next service, we'll have Bible study at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. Let's remember in our prayers those that are traveling and those who were announced earlier. If we have no other announcements at this time, we'll be led in our closing prayer.
Let us pray. Father, we come before you this evening, thankful that you've allowed us to gather here to worship you and to have fellowship with one another, Father. Lord, we firstly thank you for sending your Son to suffer and die upon the cross, Lord, that we might be forgiven of our sins. And Lord, we know that we often fall short of your glory. We ask that you'd forgive us of those sins. Wash us clean, Father, that we might be acceptable unto you. Lord, we have many of our members who are sick and away. We would ask that you would guide and protect them. Father, especially be with our sick, and be with the doctors and nurses watching out over them, Father. We would ask that you'd guide their hands and restore back to our members a portion of their health that they might be able to gather here again, if it be your will. We thank you for the lessons given here this hour, Lord. We ask that you would write those upon our hearts as well as our minds, Father, that we might be good examples of Christians to the rest of the world and able to attract more into the fold. Lord, we thank you for all of your blessings and ask you for safe travels home this evening. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.